Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome once again to the PRF table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Today is Thursday, March 23rd, 2017, and this is the last episode in our month-long series, Release from Financial Bondage. Sitting here at the table with me, as always, is Mary Ann Williams, also known around the table as Mama. Mama, good evening, and give your usual greetings to the people.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening to my PRF family, and good evening to the guests also. You are also welcome to the PRF table. I want to let you know that I surely appreciate, you know, taking the time out to be with us this evening, and you are greatly appreciated. And thank you so much for joining us this evening. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, listen, I want everybody to know that this has been a very rich series that we have been having every Thursday at 8 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. And so tonight we're finishing it out because next week on March the 30th, we will not have an episode. So we are closing out this series because most of our series are 4 weeks in length unless God tells us to go otherwise. And because of the series that we have coming up, I'm so excited about it, Mama. The series that we have coming up in April is Fasting for Your Finances. This is going to be a good one. Oh, my goodness. And so in preparation of that series, Fasting for Your Finances, we are going to have a week off. We're going to give all of the team members here at PRF time to relax and refresh themselves. Because when we come back, we're going to be dealing with something that's going to be very, very interesting, very, very challenging to some folks. It may be, quite frankly, it may be something new that you've never dealt with before. So join us back on the first Thursday in April. But for now, Mama,
yes,
let's go ahead and get into tonight's show.
Okay.
In this series, we have been exploring week after week certain themes in this Release from Financial Bondage episode. One has been, you know, who's interceding on your behalf? We tap danced a little bit about, are you comfortable in your bondage? I may mention something about that tonight as we close out. We have to get to identifying the plagues needed for the release. And then being released with wealth in hand. That is something very, very important. If you have been listening to us over the last 3 weeks, then you'll be able to see and understand what the Word of God has said and what it is saying to us in today, in this season, about being released with wealth in hand. And then the last thing is, biblically, from this passage of Scripture that we've been dealing with, Mama, there was no release until God dealt with the oppressor. And I know we talked about that early on. Sometimes the oppressor may be you. Sometimes, I know it may sting, but it's okay. Sometimes the person that has you in financial bondage is you. Think about last week, Mama, and we're getting into it right now. So if you're listening online, you want to jump into the conversation, 347-215-7934. We gave something at the end of last week's show, right? We gave the opportunity for people who had insurance, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Jiha, and say, look, if you do this, then this is what's going to happen. And we mentioned how sometimes God will send some information, or he'll send an individual across our path with something there for us to be able to help us in our situation. It may also be that God is sending us something for a time that we're not aware of. Can we go back and understand that in the book of Genesis, around 46th chapter, there was a time period when Joseph really made his mark with the king of Egypt, when the king had a dream, right? And Joseph came in and interpreted the dream. And the dream was that there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And the reality is there's some folk that paid attention to what he said, but the reality, the bigger part of the reality is it came to pass. So sometimes God will set, I mean, he desires to set us up for the good fight, set us up so that as these times come, we have things in place to be able to deal with the situations of life as they come. So back to, as we fast forward a little bit into the book of Exodus, and Brother Parks on week one, he just really blessed us with helping us understand about the jump master. And Mama, you know, like I know, if you've missed it, just go to blogtalkradio.com/PRF table, and you'll be able to listen to our previous shows. He really helped us out with that, so I'm just encouraging everybody to go back and listen to those. But for me, I'm at the point now where we have to just say, look, if you're in financial bondage, don't look at the government. Don't look at the employer that laid you off. Look at yourself. And when I say look at yourself, not look at yourself with shame or with guilt or with any of those other things of the enemy, as if to say, it's my fault. It may be your fault. Own it and move on. Because if you never own up to it, you're going to stay where you are. So if you've done something to get laid off, if you've done something to make it hard for folks to hire you, if you've done something, whatever it is, if you spent your money in the wrong place and it has you in a place of financial bondage, God still says in the end, I'll release you. You got to hear that in the spirit. And as you hear it in the spirit, the other thing, part of that is, once you hear it, now you have to act upon it. I was reading something the other day, Mama, and it just blew my mind. We talked about who's interceding on your behalf in one of our previous weeks. And I can't move away from that. I can't move away that God has the one or the ones that are designed for this. Everybody's not designed to lead you out of financial bondage.
Yes.
I mentioned last week, I said, if you're sitting up in church, and if any pastors are listening, God bless you, and let's talk about it. But if you're sitting up in church Sunday after Sunday and you're experiencing financial bondage, but yet you are waiting for God to speak to the man or woman of God that you call your pastor and give you the word through them, then you may not recognize that you're ignorant. I know it stings, but that's okay. Let me tell you why you're ignorant. Because you're not the only person sitting there in most cases that are going through some type of financial bondage. But as you're not the only one there on that area, you know there's other people that are sitting in that same congregation, some next to you, some behind you, some in front of you, some even in a pulpit that's dealing with marital problems, that's dealing with problems and challenges with their children, that's dealing with some problems in their family structures. So if everybody's sitting there saying, God, I need you to speak through the man or woman of God, the pastor, and you're waiting, and everybody else is waiting, you have to know that God ain't speaking like that. I don't care whether you got 40 members in your church or 200 or 3,000. God is not speaking to us as the leaders to be able to give every single person that is hearing a preached word from us exactly what they need about their specific situation. It's not happening. But week after week, folks are having that expectation, and they're missing it, Mama, because there's some people out here that God has placed in their path that have set it up for, you know what, I got Marianne. I got Marianne to help such and such to deal with that. And then when Marianne crosses across that person's path, oh, because Marianne ain't the pastor, no, I can't receive that.
Yes.
Folks are interceding all the time. All the time. So I'm just trying to encourage people, listen, don't miss the release point as we said on week one. Don't miss the release point. When God is ready to release, God is ready to release. Now, Mama, jump in at any time, please. I like how when I look at Moses, we know in the beginning chapters that's when Moses was born and he becomes part of Pharaoh's household. But in chapter 3, we know it to be the story of Moses and the burning bush. And I like in chapter 3, I read this earlier this week. God said to Moses, look, I've seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries. I've heard their distress because of how the slave masters are treating them harshly. God said to Moses, look, I'm aware of their suffering. So what I've done, I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt. Notice what God said to Moses. We always talk about Moses led the people out of Egypt, right? But God said, I've come down. Hold on. What does that mean? God, come down. Remember, this is the burning bush experience. Presence was there on that mountain at that bush, right? So he says, he's come down to rescue the people. Stop looking to man to rescue you and look to God to rescue you. That's where your release comes in at. And if I had to say that there was a point for tonight, like we've had on some of the other episodes this month, your release is in your understanding.
Yes.
You got to understand that all release comes from God. If all blessings come from God, if all grace comes from God, then your release has to come from God as well. I love how God said to Moses after he protested. Remember, Moses said, look, who am I to lead the people?
Yes.
God said, look, I'm going to be with you. He talks, you know, he did the sign, and Moses being who Moses was, because, look, you had to know that was a very monumental task, what God was asking Moses to do. 600,000 men, at least. Easy putting that number to the easy 1.4 million with women and children. Now, so many folk believe that they have to do everything to get their situations of finance in a whole different state. No, no, no. I know you have to do some things. But if we're going to deal with this whole notion of being released from bondage, then we have to know this wasn't an individual task. This was a collective task. It was a collective task. And pastors, y'all listen to this. We oftentimes look at it because of, and I talked about this before, about the movies, right? And when we see in the movies, the Exodus movie and the Ten Commandments, we always see Moses. But they can't put what the Bible says in it because sometimes it may not fit Hollywood. Mama, if I took a poll and I was online right now and I asked the question, I said, tell me how... what happened in this story? You have most people probably say, well, Moses went to Pharaoh and he said, let my people go. And he kept going back to Pharaoh saying, let my people go. And he didn't do it. And then eventually there came this one plague. It was just really, really big. And it was so big that Pharaoh just had to let the people go when his son was dead. But that's not what the Bible says. Bible doesn't start off with this account with Moses going to Pharaoh in the first place, not by himself. Mm-hmm. Do you know who Moses went to Pharaoh with?
Yes, Aaron.
Good guess, Mama. But see, that's in chapter 5. We still in chapter 3. Chapter 3, God said, you and the elders go.
Okay.
Yeah. You and the elders go. Oh, hold on. Okay, so we got Moses, quote unquote, the leader. And God said, you and the elders go. He said, look, go to the elders and tell the elders what I'm telling you. So if God gives me as the leader, quote unquote, as the leader, if God gives me a plan on how to help or how to get us out of bondage, particularly what I'm talking about with financial bondage. And then God also says, look, I need you to go to these pastors. I need you to go to these leaders, and this is what I need you to tell them what I told you. And then he says, in you and the elders ago are to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. But hold on. Again, that's a release. The release was not a permanent release. I know it's going to mess up some folks' head. The release that God said for Moses and the elders to do or to tell to Pharaoh was a temporary release. So your releases and your understanding that sometimes your release is only temporary. And if something is temporary, that means you got to be willing to go through that temporary place until your permanent release comes.
That's good.
Another good thing about the elders was God told Moses, look, the elders are going to receive this message. They're going to receive it. That lets me know when we talked about who's interceding on your behalf, everybody's not going to receive this. There's some folk that's not going to receive certain things that you need to do, those of you who are listening, to get out of financial bondage. So pastors ain't going to like if you have to hold back on your tithe if God say do it. Oh, no, you can't. Okay, so I got to follow them. Okay, here we go again, tithing out of law or love. That's one of our courses. So I got to follow the law, but I don't got to deal with the love because if God told it to me, he's telling me out of love. And therefore, that's how I'm to respond. Man, some folks just need to stop hog-tying folks to a book and better recognize the spirit of God. Because, see, this wasn't a book what's going on, what we're reading tonight, Mama, and what we've been dealing with all these last couple weeks. This is the spirit of God moving. We just happen to be intelligent enough, sophisticated enough, sadiddy enough, knowledgeable enough. We privileged enough. Some folks don't even have written Bibles in certain countries. So we happen to be able to have the opportunity to read this and say, oh, I know what came afterwards. Man, please, I'm going to keep flowing. I asked the question, are you comfortable in bondage? Here's the reality. If we go to slavery of the United States of America, not immigration from Africa, talking about slavery, you know, against their will, taking them from their culture, stripping them and all that. That's slavery. I don't know what immigration stuff some folks be talking about. And if you go to that, you realize that a whole bunch of folks, Africans, were in bondage. But as I said before, we're closing this out tonight. As I said before, so this is a reminder to some people. I'm amazed at how many folks were there that always outnumbered the slave masters and the drivers. Always outnumbered them. And when some people get in bondage long enough, Mama, they get comfortable.
Yeah. Yes.
There's some folks comfortable living in mobile homes, in mobile home parks. Some folks are comfortable. I'm not knocking it. You used to live in one, Mama. I loved it. I wish we still go there. I had my own room back then. Housing projects, receiving government assistance, regardless of the level. Can I say that? Regardless of the level, because, you know, it ain't just poor folks that get government assistance. But some folk have been born into certain things. And so that's their norm. And so we can't demonize folk that appear to be comfortable in bondage when it's their norm.
That's right.
That's why teaching is so very, very important and critical. If it's your norm, and here I come singing a different song, I'm telling you, step in the name of love, let's do two-step. And you're like, no, I know is the Tootsie Roll. That's all I know. And you talk about doing the two-step. Well, actually, the two-step is a whole lot simpler than the Tootsie Roll, if you think about it. I know I done lost a whole bunch of young folk. But the two-step is a whole lot easier than the Tootsie Roll. But all I know is the Tootsie Roll. It's the same thing with release of financial bondage. All I know is pray to God. But ain't nobody told me anything else other hence where we coming next month, about fasting for my finances. The Bible don't talk about fasting for your finances. Okay, but it talk about fasting. What's the purpose of fasting? So some folks ain't never done it in their life. And all they keep doing is asking God, Lord, release me. Change my financial situation. God's like, I've given you a whole big old book with a whole bunch of different things that you could try. Try me, says the Lord. This trial. Trying beats not doing anything. Hence, you can't stay comfortable and expect God to continue to keep doing over and over and over for you while you're in bondage. And just take you out just because you just there. God has a purpose for releasing his folk out of bondage. Let me. I don't even know if I'm going to get past chapter 3 tonight, Mama, but I'm going to try. Remember I said earlier that there's no release until God deals with your oppressor? Sometimes your oppressor is you, but I'll deal with for a moment the other oppressors. Some of the oppressors, I know it's going to sting, but it's okay. Some of the oppressors are why so many of God's people are in financial bondage are pastors. If I'm your shepherd, and again, any pastor that's listening, feel free to jump into this conversation, 347-215-7934. If I'm your pastor and you call me your shepherd, and we know that spiritually I'm the under-shepherd because God, Jesus is the shepherd, right? So I'm the under-shepherd.
Yes.
I'm your shepherd, right?
Yes.
My task should be to care about you. My task should be to lead you. A shepherd, think about a regular shepherd. Think of a shepherd like David the shepherd, right? Think about a shepherd like Moses was dealing with those shepherds at the well in Midian. So think about a shepherd. What is the job of a shepherd? Just visualize this, y'all. Sometimes you got to visualize the word of God. A shepherd's job is to take care of shepherd's job is to take care of the sheep, to make sure that they're fed. But then when we go and teach at places, Mama, we have folks 55 years old that's been in church all their lives and say, I ain't never been taught about tithing. What? Here's the reality. One shepherd don't have everything, Mama.
That's correct.
Nor can one shepherd watch after the flock 24 hours a day. Can we go back to Moses? We can go to Moses chapter 18 in Exodus. When he was looking after the people, he was doing everything he could for the people. He's working himself to the bone until his father-in-law Jethro came and said, look, you're wearing yourself out and the people. So we got folks that's in our church houses that are worn out, just waiting for God to give them some breakthrough. But as the shepherd, what are you doing to help folks? I remember Pastor Bishop said this, Mama, and I don't know if you remember this, and I said it before. Pastor Bishop said to me, he said, Doc, let me tell you something. He said, one of the reasons, I can tell you one of the main reasons why folk don't want to accept PRF, he said, because God forbid that it works. God forbid that what you are teaching from this word of God and from the spirit of God, the logos and the rhema word of God, God forbid that it works. We don't want the people coming back to us saying, what have you been teaching us all this time? Ah, when he said it, it stung, but it was okay. Because he's right. He know he in that circle. Did I share what God shared with me about 3 days ago? God brought that back in my spirit as I was studying this week. But God added something to it. Oh, my goodness. It's going to sting, but it's okay. He reminded me about what Pastor Bishop had said. God added this earlier this week. But they need to be worried about folks finding out that they had an opportunity for PRF and that PRF was presented to them for the people. And they need to be worried about the people finding out that it was offered to them to help their situation, but the pastor said no.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
That's rough. That's rough. I'm like, God, why you be saying stuff like that to me? Because other folk need to hear it.
And may I interject in here is one.
Sure.
You know, I got born again. Before I got born again, I never read my Bible. You know, we were Catholics, and so, you know, we just, you know, my aunt read the Bible, but she never, I would see her with that Bible, because they're Holy Bible, but you know, she never explained anything to me about the Holy Bible. And then in my going to Catholic school, there was nothing about reading your holy reading the Bible. It was none of that. So when I got born again, I had never read the Bible. I didn't know anything. So I, you know, once I gave my life to the Lord, you know, and that was, of course, my first pastor, you know, and a pastor would say, read, and, you know, and then I started reading and reading, and then there's so much I didn't understand because I was using the King James Bible, and I just, so much, I just really had no understanding because after all, I'm a babe, and when you're a babe, it's like an infant, you know, you don't expect a 1-month-old baby to read unless it's an exception to the rule. But however, I was interested in different topics and things, and so when I did go to my pastor, you know what I'm saying? It was like, okay. I didn't really go to my first pastor. Let me back up. I didn't go to my first pastor, and because I just asked God to show me some books, you know, to help me to understand. Like when I was studying criminal justice at the temple, you know, what I mean, we had other books to help us interpret, you know, the law. So I said, because I don't understand any of this, and so he put someone in my spirit, and he was a theologian, and he had his own bookstore, and he took up a lot of time with me. So then I had more questions. So when I went to another pastor, they couldn't really explain to me some things. So here I'm just studying, trying to figure this thing out, and asking God to show me everything. Well, I went down to when I got up on another pastor, and I was explaining some things to him, and it was so, it's just like you said, I said, why didn't they tell me this? And he says, you got to remember, they can only teach you what they know.
Say that. Mm.
They can only teach you what they know, you know. I said, because if I had known this, then I was all mixed up about how to pray anyway, and I said, I would have been praying different, and, you know, and he was just saying, you know, like, calm down, you know. He says, you got to remember, he says, a lot of the teachers passed down from generation to generation, and as this passed from generation to generation, it's so instilled into them until the younger generation don't want to upset what they've been taught, especially if the ones that taught them are living. So they could know things, and when they bring something, a revelation to their elders, you know, they say, no, that's not the way we do it. So he told me, he said, don't be upset, you know, with them. He said, just understand they only could teach you what they know.
Mm-hmm. That's good, Mama. You know, somebody, one of our listeners sent us a message and said, if they're focusing on the pastor and not on the Word of God, then they're going to stay in financial bondage. And I really agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with
good.
That, especially to the point of, of being in this space as a religious leader, as a minister, and knowing things that go on, and how sometimes people focus on us as the vessel and not on the Word of God. See, again, let's go back to what was said in chapter 3. God told Moses, Lord said to Moses, I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. That's what God said. So everybody, again, I said your release is in your understanding. So you got to understand that your release is not in even the PRF table. Your release is in the God that has placed the PRF table in your path to be able to help you. Just like the release was in God, was in through Moses, the vessel who he raised up, who was already placed there and could have been dead.
Yes.
Go back to the first chapter. He could have been dead. Maybe God would have used somebody else, but he chose him. So they was already in the plan. And at the time Moses was born, watch this, they were already in bondage. They didn't get in bondage when Moses was born. They were already in bondage before he was born.
Yes. Oh, that's so
good. Now, listen, y'all. Moses responded to what God said. So God said, I'm going to lead them out, right? Moses knew that God was communicating to him about this task. Because Moses, I mean, because God said to Moses, he said, now go. He said, after he keeps telling him, look, I've heard the cry of the people. Their cries have reached out to me. Some folk are wanting a release, and they've been crying and keep crying out, keep crying out. Maybe you need to change your prayer. Maybe your prayer does not need to, I'm telling you, it's in your understanding. Maybe the prayer doesn't need to be, Lord, release me, release me, release me. Lord, I'm tired of this, I'm tired of this, I'm tired of this. God knows you're tired. He heard you. Maybe your prayer needs to be different. Who am I missing that you sent? Lord, show me who I've missed that you have sent. Lord, direct me to whoever it is that you've sent. Send me to the right website that has the right information. God told Moses, said, he said, go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. I'm sending you. I'm sending you. And then he said, you must lead them. So the whole thing is you got to understand order. God has come down to release the people, and then God institutes, look, I need you to do it. Moses is like, hold on, who am I? He didn't understand. Who am I to lead these people out of Egypt? You're asking the wrong question. The question ain't who are you. The question is how do I do it? That's the question, mama. How do I do it? Oh, my goodness. I'm going to try to get to, Mama, I'm going to try to get to being released with wealth in hand. But you got to understand about this thing about the oppressor. What God tells Moses, Mama, is this. He says, I know that the king of Egypt is not going to let you go. He ain't going to let y'all go until something forces his hand. Not something small. Not like a little $35 return check fee. No, something got to force his hand like bankruptcy. Something big. That's what God told Moses. God told Moses, I'm going to strike. He says, when I strike, they will give you gifts when you go, so you will not leave empty-handed. I will read it again. Verse 21. See, I'm glad Brother Pastor said what he said about listening to the Word of God. See, I could tell you to do all this other stuff, but I'm reading what God said in his Word. And I will call the Egyptians to look favorably upon you. They will give you gifts when you go so that you will not leave empty-handed. God has shown me from the first time we've had to start talking about this, even before, back in February, we were dealing what we were dealing with in February during the Black Money Matters series. Matter of fact, it was January, matter of fact, because I think I preached about this somewhere. He will release you with wealth in hand. He didn't say he's going to release you with your own in hand. He just says with wealth in hand. But he told them specifically where the wealth was going to come from. It's going to come from these jokers that's putting their foot on your neck. That's been messing up your bloodline. Because your fathers and your mothers and your granddaughters is jacked up in the head. And they jacked up in their spirit because they've been in bondage for so freaking long. And I'm going to call them jokers that had to give to you. Because, see, they're not going to listen. I'm saying stuff, but they ain't listening. They ain't listening.
Amen.
Let me go further. Every Israelite woman will ask for articles of silver and gold and fine linen from her Egyptian neighbors and from the foreign women in their houses. You would dress your sons and your daughters with these, stripping the Egyptians of their wealth. You go read it. That's the last verse in chapter 3. So if you don't have an understanding about expectation, why should God release you? So you can go from one place of bondage to the next. God's like, no. If you're in bondage, is a serious thing. Mama, we ain't talking about somebody that's barely making it. Nah, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about folk that's sitting among us that's going through some real hard times, real hard times. And been there. We're talking about bondage, not going through a financial challenge. A financial challenge can be a flat tire when you ain't got no money in the bank. That's a financial challenge. What we talking about, you feeling beat. We talking about, I'm talking to these folks that feel like they've been beat. They're being beat down, check to check. Mm-hmm. I remember we were teaching, I forgot what we were teaching a couple of years ago. And there was an individual in our learning session that said, every time I get paid, I never forget this gentleman. Every time I get paid, older, probably about 55, maybe 60. But every time I get paid, I get one check a month, disability or something. And as soon as I get it, the next day all of it's gone because he got to write out his bills. And so I was teaching them on a lot of times you have stuff that you don't even realize you have. Let's go back and let's just plug in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, and also 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, particularly 2 Kings. Sometimes folk don't realize what they have in the house. So he talked about we kept going on with the lesson, and then something came up that we were teaching, and one of the gentlemen, I was having them to list out their possessions, right? And one of the gentlemen said, hold on. He said, I got all these broke down cars. Every time, you know, I help my son out and he get a car, he don't do his right or break down. And I got like 10, 15 cars in the yard. And one of the other students, mama, one of the other learners that was there said, well, you got money right there. No, every time I get my check, all his mindset was he was still in bondage because all his mindset couldn't, all his experiences were able to help him or stay where he was at was I don't have physical money.
Yes, yes.
But the word of God, the spirit of God spoke through this individual to say, hold on, let me help you understand. And I said, okay, do you understand that you're not in as bad a shape as you think, sir? And he kept going back to the paycheck. And then I let the other student explain it to him. You could do something with those cars. Now, he ain't know exactly what to do. He said, you got all those cars. You could do something with it. I said, there you go, right there. See, I said, you could take every month. You could take one car a month for at least a year based upon you got 15 or so cars in your front lawn, in front of your house, on your property. First of all, if you got 15 cars on your property, you got some land. You ain't living on a Plymouth Street in Philly.
Amen.
If you can park 15 cars on your land, you got some land.
Amen.
That's a resource. That's a possession. But he said, you could take one car a month and take it to the scrapyard and get $300, $400, $500. Here's what I told him. Now, listen. Now, see, that's another example of not realizing sometimes who God places in our path. This man learned something. He got understanding from what we were teaching. The other gentleman didn't get it, but he was willing to share to try to help his brother to understand it and get it.
Amen.
Here's what I told him. I said, well, listen to this, sir. I said, I'll tell you this. This is what I tell you. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you this. If you don't want to do it, I'll come up and pick up one every month from your house, and I'll take it to the scrapyard. Because if you don't want to do nothing with what you got, give it to me. I would gladly pay somebody $40 or $50 to come and pick it up from the dog, pick it up with a record, take it to the scrapyard, give them their $35, $40, $50, and I pocket $300, $400, $500. If you don't want to do anything with it, he's in bondage, but God has given him the release. At the time, he has been missing the release point month after month, check after check. And there's a lot of people out there like that. And God is saying, I need you to be attentive to what I'm doing out here in the spirit world. I need to be attentive to certain things. Oh, my goodness, it's about to sting, but it's okay. You can't be attentive to what God is trying to do when you're on Facebook all the time. You can't be attentive to what God is trying to do to help you get out of financial bondage. I'm speaking about one specific situation if you're worried about what President Trump's talking about. If you're speaking more about Sean Spicer than you are about the Word of God, Don't be complaining about being in financial bondage. Yeah, we about to get into something when we start talking about fasting for finances next month. But let me move on. That's what God said. So here, again, I said one of the other things that we want you to understand is you got to understand the plagues that sometimes they're needed for your release. See, at the time in chapter 3, when he went to Pharaoh with the elders, it wasn't about letting the people go. Read it. It was about letting the people go so that they can go out into the wilderness for 3 days and worship God.
Yes.
It wasn't a permanent release, Mama. It was only a temporary release.
Yes.
It was temporary. But that's what God wanted. But hold on.
Yeah.
Pharaoh, he ain't trying to listen to us. So then you keep going, you realize when Moses was like, look, he was like, look, God, man, can you send somebody else? You know, I can't speak right. Okay. This is the same dude you grew up with in the kingdom. Ramsey, this same one you grew up with. You was the general, you was the one fighting. But you can't. You all of a sudden you can't speak. He knows you can't speak. So what's the problem now? But okay, since you can't do it, right? Since you got some reasons and some excuses, I'm going to send somebody with you. I'm going to send Aaron. Then he goes. He talks to the leaders, Moses and Aaron. Then Moses and Aaron go to speak to Pharaoh. Moses and Aaron, and they say to him, "Here's what God said, the Lord God of Israel. Let my people go so we can have a festival so they can worship in the wilderness." Why should I do that? You got to understand, sometimes the very person that's holding you down is putting their foot on your neck. God is dealing with them. He going to deal with it. Same person that said, you know what? No, I need you to work on Sunday, but you know you just got to get the service because you want to praise and worship the Lord and be around your brothers and your sisters. And that joker don't need you on Sunday, but they know that you need God. They know you need the community of faith, but they just low down like that. Or they may not believe, so they don't really understand how important it is. And you're like, oh, I need to be around my folk because I need to get this breakthrough.
I need a break.
Yeah, I need a break and a breakthrough. I need a break from your foolishness and a breakthrough with God. God needs to break through your stony heart like he did with Pharaoh. Or even maybe it's Bible study. No, I need you to work till 6:30. I need you to work till 7 o'clock on Wednesday. Can my late day be on Tuesday or Thursday? I do my late day on Friday. No. Come on, foolishness. So when you listen and you think about the plagues was affecting Pharaoh, but also the people of Egypt. It was affecting Pharaoh, but not just the people of Egypt, but it was also affecting the leaders. You remember when Pharaoh said, these jokers can make bricks out of straw.
Yeah.
We're going to make this thing hard for him. You know what? You're going to come in here talking to me, telling me about what God going to do to me? I tell you what, take it from them. I really don't know what they need to make all this, make all these bricks, but take it from them. Let them make it with straw. Let's give them some quotas that we doggone know they're not going to be able to meet. We know they're not going to be able to meet it, but we're going to make it hard for them. Again, sometimes your release don't come until God deals with your oppressors, so you got to be strong in your faith. You got to know that God is going to release at some point. Don't you realize that they've been in slavery for over 400 years? So you have to know that this is generational, right? 430? How many generations come through 430 years? So you got to know that it's like, man, good grace. Y'all keep talking about going to Canaan. When the release going to come? Elders, you keep talking about when the release. Well, it didn't come with great-grandmama. It didn't come with grandmama. It ain't come with my mama. It sure as heck don't look like it's coming with me. When is it coming? But see, that's why you got to be connected with God. God is like, I got you. You got to understand. He is saying to us, I got you. Got to say it. Got to believe it in your heart. Okay, so then we deal with the plagues, right? But Moses, and go back, and again, if you look at the story of the Ten Commandments, you see Moses going back to him every single time. That's not what happened in the Bible. The plagues happened, but how it's portrayed in the Ten Commandments is not. There were some times when God just kept running, the plagues. Did not come from Moses going to Pharaoh each time, like going to Pharaoh, then there was a plague, going to Pharaoh. That's not, the Bible is not written like that, but it's good on TV. Now, let's think about the plagues. You want to be released from financial bondage, but you're watching these plagues go on around you. These plagues are affecting you as well, right? You're in Egypt. They're in Egypt along with the Egyptians. They're just Israelites. So when the sea turns to blood, it affects their water supply too. Mm-hmm. When the cattle get sick, it affects their food supply too. So you got to understand that there's some things that are going on that may still be in God's plan. It still may not be favorable. You may not like it. But are you close enough to God to be able to say, okay, God, I'm ready to get it released out of this, but you see all this other stuff. Case in point, Lord, I'm already struggling right now, and you're gonna let them take my Medicare away from me. Lord, you're gonna let them take my Social Security. You know I need my Social Security. I know it ain't much. They trying to take it away. They government. All that.
Yeah.
Call it, whoever they want to blame. That's real life stuff. But sometimes, even in those plagues, those other things that come while people are in bondage, it's all part of God's design. But see, you don't want, it stings, but I know it's tight. Nobody want to hear that when they're going through, Mama.
I know.
Nobody's struggling financially right now. Nobody in financial bondage right now wants to hear, especially nobody with medical problems, medical conditions that they need medication for. Nobody wants to hear right now, I may not be able to get my medication with this new health care plan that's trying to be thrown down my throat. Oh, no. I may have voted. I don't want that. It's sad, but it's true. Some of these other things have to happen. Because you got to understand, this whole thing about bondage, this wasn't about Pharaoh. He was a part of the plan, but this thing was not about Pharaoh. This thing has always been about his chosen people. Always. God always has his hand on the situation. Even when he removes his hand, he's still involved in it. Nobody want to hear about the plagues. The plagues was essential to the release, Mama. Bondage was one thing, but those other things that came, we talking about 10 plagues. Remember how I said earlier? Okay, you got to do your part. So you want the release, but you don't want to deal with the plagues that may also be going on at the same time you're in bondage. Not saying that this has to happen every situation, that there has to be 10 plagues that come in your life, but you got to be attuned enough to God. And leaders should be attuned enough to God to help the people, especially when their faith is not at a certain level, where it just doesn't bring them down all the time.
Yes.
Okay, so what happens? We know that in chapter 11, the plague where the firstborn sons of Egypt, or the firstborn, would die. They didn't listen to what Moses said. Right? Moses went to Pharaoh and said, hey, if you don't let him go this time, Jack, I ain't been able to help you on these other ones, but on this one, I could just imagine the real conversation, right? The words in between the text. Listen, man. Listen to what I'm telling you. You need to go ahead and let the people go. This one right here, you don't want to experience. All right. I'm trying to help you. But remember, God already told Moses he ain't going to listen to you.
Yes.
He already told him.
He did.
Remember I said no release until God deals with your oppressor? The Bible clearly says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Go read it.
Yeah.
God's word says the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. So sometimes something has to die before your release. Here's the question. Remember what they had to do, right? We understand that the Passover came from this, right? And he put the blood on the doorpost, right? And the angel and the Spirit of the Lord passed over all of those houses that had the blood that was slain from the lamb, right? We got that. Or if you don't get it, just go read this in Exodus 11, 12. Go read it. But in Egypt, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. So they lose out. Their children die. Let's not forget about the Passover. Let's not look at it and be so quick to think about just the release. What Moses told them, right? What he said to them, they had a choice. I'm tired. You know, I've been working all day. We still slaves, so they still was getting beat. No, I got some bruises to take care of. No, my feet hurt. No, I got to watch Scandal. No, I got to watch Duck Dynasty. No, I got to watch CNN and watch them fight on C-SPAN. No, I got to watch Fox and fuss at Fox. No, I our Democrat brothers. No, I got to watch MSNBC and fuss at MSNBC for my Republican fellows. No, I got to go to the club tonight. Just like all those folk do what they want to do, they had the same option back in the Bible. They had an option to either put the blood on the doorpost or not. But here's the beauty of it. They chose God. They chose to listen to the word of God coming through the man of God. And what happened? None of their children died. So that death that happened doesn't have to be death from us. It may affect somebody else. But at the end of the day, something had to die before the release. I don't know what it is. I don't know what in your flesh you got to crucify in order for God to give you your release. I don't know what it is. But if we're going to follow a biblical example, something got to die. Does bad spending habits need to die right now for God to give you the release? Does a mindset that I'm not going to invest in my future need to die for God to give you the release? Does standing up as a husband or a wife to your husband or your wife saying, oh, we can't keep doing it like this, does that mindset of I can't say nothing need to die in order for God to give you the release? No release until God deals with your oppressor. I don't care whether it's you. I don't care whether it's somebody else. But God got to deal with something in order to give you the release, if we're going to use this as a biblical example of being released from bondage. So, Mama?
Yes.
I'm telling the folks, there's no time to be acting like you're not in bondage when we know so many people are.
Yes.
There's no time for pastors to act like they don't know or like they don't even care that the people are in bondage when they know good and well that a lot of them are going through some bad times.
And I may add, if I may, that say even if the pastors did not know, and if we present the PRF to the pastors, now they know.
God does not hold us accountable for what we don't know. He only holds us accountable for what we do. If you are driving on the highway, I don't care where you got your license at. In order to get a driver's license, wherever you talk, wherever it is, you had to go take some type of driving exam. No matter what state or city you were in, every driving exam has something called road signs. Most of the road signs look the same. If it has two numbers on it, that's a speed limit, regardless of whether you can read or not. When you see those two numbers on that road sign, and it's the black and white ones, not the ones that show it's an interstate or a highway. But those signs look the same nationwide, right? You go to California, the sign that says 75 miles, 70 miles an hour is going to look the same way if you go to the east coast of Carolina. Looks the same. It looks the same. We have to be willing to do our part, Mama. That's it.
Yeah.
Got to be willing to do our part. God, I just believe it so strong in my spirit, and I felt like this the whole time we were leading up to this, even since February. And if you'll just do your part, God will release you from your financial bondage. Listen, there's a whole bunch of folk, Mama. There's a whole bunch of folk that since about February up to now, a whole bunch of folk that have got income tax refunds back.
Yeah.
Was that the release from financial bondage? Or because they weren't able to understand that I got to do something different? Can't rely on the income tax. Maybe I need to change some of my behavior. If you change some of your behavior, you may not need to be required in your mind to receive a big old income tax refund. Still be just as happy and peaceful.
Yes.
Because what happens when the refund does not come? People are mad. People are upset. In a state of mind, like I've heard you say, fit to be tied. And that's not where God wants his people to be living.
No.
He doesn't want us to live there. He wants us to live in freedom. He wants us to live in freedom. And so my prayer is that y'all get it, that you get it in your spirit, that you understand that God really has a desire to free you from financial bondage. And if you're with us from day one, you understand this. I'm saying free you from financial bondage, but I'm not talking about free you as an individual.
Right. And, you know,
this
something
whole...
I was thinking.
Go ahead, Mom. Go ahead.
Oh, I was really thinking what was going on in my mind when you were talking about the release point, and it can be a temporary release. And then once the person now, you know, have gone through the sacrificing and they get totally released financially, you know, they have to really be careful who they surround themselves with, because if X always, you know, on Friday night, you know, they go get their hair done on Friday, they get their nails done, everything, they go out and club, and then they spend money, you know what I mean, then they go shopping once a week. Now, if this has been their lifestyle, them and their girlfriends, and now that they're aware, you know, God has come into their lives with the PRF, and now they're receiving it, and then they get released, going through the temporary release, you know, and now they're totally released. They cannot continue to hang around with those same girlfriends because they don't have the same mindset now. And so you may say, no, I don't need to get my nails done every week. I can get them done, once a week. I mean, once a month, you know. I'm not going to be going shopping, you know. My payday is Thursday. I get paid every week, so now I'm going to go shopping the same day. Okay, the person's mindset has changed, but this is my opinion. If you continue to hang around them, they're going to pull you back. They're going to say, "Come on, you never do anything. All you do is stay at home now. You know, we don't go out and eat like we used to. You know," and all of that will put them back in bondage again. Why? Because their finances are going to be affected. So I think once a person do get released, as I said before, you have to surround yourself with people that are in the same mindset that they're going forward and they don't want to go back, you know. And it may be with people that didn't have PRF, they just know how to handle their finances, you know. And that still is possessing resources and finances, and they might have not been taught the way, say, if the person was receiving PRF the way it's taught here, but the person had been taught or brought up to understand about saving and things of that nature. And so there are other people out there that probably will never take this course, but they do know how to handle their finances. And God will give you. I mean, because I had to change my whole circle of friends, you know, after I got born again. And God will give you people. You know, God, you know, we don't want to be alone, but God will give you people. And, you know, and you can't just, you know, a person that can't expect God to just move. No, he gives you wisdom. You know, he lets you know, no, this is not a person. Even when I wasn't saved, I knew certain people I couldn't hang around because I didn't want to get in trouble. So, you know, you have common sense. And common sense saying, no, this person's, you know, she's always in trouble. So, no, she's nice and she's a good person, but, you know, she needs to change her habits. I don't need to hang around that person. Well, the same choice that have to be made once you have, you know, change your mindset and you want to not live in financial bondage. So we can't keep doing the negative things that we're doing and expect for us to be a change, you know. That's called insanity.
Mama, you done threw out some stuff for some folk just now. I don't know if they was ready for it, but it's out there. And I agree with you wholeheartedly, Mama. This thing is real. So many people are going through this. And listen, y'all, if there was not a lot of people in financial bondage, God would not have us talking about it. God is not in the business of wasting my time. I ain't in the business of wasting your time.
Yes.
So if that's not how God is operating, then we must know that this is something that is important to God. It's important to us. And we're going to do everything within our power to help you. This ain't about me. I'm not in financial bondage. That's the truth, and I praise God for it. Ain't like I ain't never been in it. But the Bible says, comfort those with the comfort. I mean, in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12, whichever one. Comfort those with the comfort that you've been comforted with. This is 1 Corinthians 12, a loose translation. So if I've been, since I've been in financial bondage, since I know what it feels like to be at the point of bankruptcy, I don't care whether you've been at that point or you actually went through it. To have all that in your head, as a dude, as a man, with children, ain't a good place. It ain't like it happened overnight. It took a while to get there. I've told y'all before here on this show that I had a credit card with a $3,500 balance. $3,500 balance that I carried for 10 years. 10 years before I was able to pay it off. That's bondage. Because my limit was $3,500. It get to be about $3,490. The next thing you know, here comes the interest. Now it sends me over the limit. Now I get an over the limit fee. Never could get that thing down. God sent something one day. I borrowed some additional money to pay that debt off, which brought me a little bit of time. See, we got to be real about how we get out of stuff, Mama. Good God.
Yes.
We got to be real about how we get out of some of the stuff. So I had to borrow. I borrowed some money. It wasn't a payday loan place. It was one of them little loan places with a high interest rate. And I paid it off because I knew I had some money coming later. There's a consolidation was what I was going to do. Listen, some of y'all need to hear this. This didn't happen because I just was paying my bills on time. I was paying those late fees. I mean, those overdraft, over the limit fees. I was paying my minimum balance, but I was still in financial bondage because I could not get from what's up under that $3,500 credit card bill that I'm not using to spend money on because I'm at my limit. All the good stuff that I thought, all the drinks that I was using on my credit card, balling out of control, all the hotels, all the gas money, all the stuff that I didn't have nothing to show for, was gone. Poof. And now I'm in bondage for 10 years with one debt. That ain't a good place. Again, we got to be real with how we get out of some of our stuff. Stop acting like guys are going to be, see, here's the other part. Some folk don't want to hear that a lot of this is about a process.
Yes.
Man, I wish it did was with us tonight. A lot of this is about a process.
Yes.
So, again, we've been focusing over these last 4 weeks, y'all. We've been focusing on the release from financial bondage. Not about the promised land experience where so many of y'all want to be at. Can you really deal with what's needed to happen before the release comes? So many people, Mama, are looking for a miracle from God.
Yes.
When they really should be looking for God's healing. Because miracles are, you know what? You need something here. Here it is. And you and I both know a lot of people don't appreciate stuff that's just given to them when they don't got to do a doggone thing for it.
Yes.
So if we're going to deal with the release, I'll even go a little bit further and take a little bit extra time tonight. When they got released, where'd they go?
Well,
they left Egypt. Right? Mm-hmm. They left Egypt. They left going for Canaan.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm.
A journey that didn't have to take 40 years. They weren't 40 years away from Canaan.
Yeah.
But a lot of other stuff happened. A lot of other stuff happened, right? But here's the thing. Once God gave them the release, once the Pharaoh came to them and came to Moses and said, y'all get out of here. Go. Be gone. Go worship God like you want to do. Do it over there. Get out of Egypt. Get out of my space because right now I'm fit to be tied. My little man is gone. My firstborn. You know what happened, Mama? With the firstborns, it messed up their bloodline. That's why the firstborn was so important. You know what else? It messed up their inheritance. It messed up their legacy. Anybody couldn't rule the kingdom. As bad as a brother as Joseph was, he could never be king. As fierce as a general as Moses was, he couldn't be the king of Egypt. Couldn't do it. Wasn't in the bloodline. But our bloodline as believers tells me, Mama, that we can be free. My bloodline as a believer says that by his stripes we are healed. Not by his stripes we get miracles. By his stripes we are healed.
Yes.
When you cut yourself and get a little boo-boo, you go through a healing process. We have a course called Financial Healing, 10 Steps to Financial Healing and the Key to Financial Healing. You can find that on erfministry.org. But it's a healing process. So with our beloved Israelites, and they was told, get out of Egypt by Pharaoh. They didn't leave empty-handed. Now we can deal with this wealth piece, and we're going to shut it down after this. But they had a choice. I can't emphasize that piece enough, Mama, that they had a choice.
Yes.
So you got choices before the release. And you got choices after the release.
That's good.
When Pharaoh said, get out, take the rest of them Israelites jokers with you, go worship that Lord like you want to do, take all your flocks and your herds, be gone. They had an option. It's all about choice. God ain't going to never just take away the will of man. If that's the case, we would never have that foolishness in the garden. Oh, man, he's about to make a mistake. No, I'm going to force Eve to say no. You want to say yeah, go ahead. Okay. All right. Ananias and Sapphira, same thing. Chapter 5 of Book of Acts. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I don't want them to lie to me. I don't want them to lie to the Spirit. No. Okay, if you're going to lie, go ahead. All right. The Bible says, and he dropped dead.
Wow.
Then his wife comes in. She has an opportunity. Hey, what y'all do? What you do with the money? Did you really give it all? Yeah. Boom. Now they took the same joker, the same brothers that took her husband out, took her out. They had double plots. They didn't even plan for it. Not that day. So you have a choice for your destination and for your destiny. Because when Pharaoh said go, right? Pharaoh said get out of Egypt. Y'all want to go out there in that wilderness? Go ahead. They could have said, oh no, and stayed in bondage. It would have been a whole lot rougher if they would have stayed in, oh my goodness, mama. It would have been a whole lot rougher if some of those had said, nah, let's just say 100,000 of them said, nah, we good, y'all go ahead. You talk about go to the wilderness. Man, I don't know nothing about that. All I know is Egypt. Canaan, I don't even know where Canaan is. Man, that could be from here, that could be from Philly to California. You talking about walking? No, man, I'm good. Get back with me when you got a bus ticket. So they had a choice. But if they would have stayed in Egypt, if they would have chosen, if any of them would have chosen not to go because all the rest of them had left, it would have been a whole lot rougher for those who had stayed.
Oh, yes.
So the people got to understand, when God releases you, you got to go and move with the release. Because God is orchestrating that. So what happened? Told him to go. Here's the part that should just bless everybody. When he told him to go and be gone, Pharaoh also said, but bless me as you leave. Bless me as you leave. The joker that's been responsible, not just him, you can't blame it all on that Pharaoh Ramses. You also got to go and talk about his father, the one who was king of Egypt with Joseph, right? The ancestral line, right? So, Pharaoh was not one person. Pharaoh was who they were, and each of them had names, just like we all got last names, right? So he said, but bless me as you leave. What? Joker, you done had to go through 10 plagues and get the ultimate one. And now you're going to say go, but then you're going to say bless me as you leave. Uh-oh. So when God releases you from financial bondage, who are you going to bless as you go? I know y'all ain't want to hear. I know y'all want to hear that. I know y'all don't want to hear. But who are you going to bless when you go? I told you at the beginning of these 4 weeks that this thing ain't got nothing to do with you as an individual. This has to do everything with community. And even in that, you got a choice. But watch this. The Bible also says that all of the Egyptians, they urged the people of Israel to get out of the land as quick as possible. The Egyptians, the ones who was living there as the neighbors, the ones who was part of being their taskmaster, said, y'all need to get out of here as soon as possible. So they gathered all this stuff up, right? But remember what the word of God said back in chapter 2, if I'm not mistaken, or chapter 3 or 4. The word of God, when God said to Moses about leaving the wealth in hand, chapter 3, it says in chapter 12 that all the people did as Moses had instructed. And they asked the Egyptians for their clothing, their articles of silver and gold. Remember, I read that to you because God said that they're going to hand over this stuff to you. Because it's going to be so hard. He didn't tell them which plague it was that was going to happen. But he said it's going to be something that's going to strike so hard that they're going to just give you these things. Okay, and see, I'm not making this up. The Bible says the Lord caused the Egyptians, not Pharaoh, but the Egyptians to look favorably over the Israelites. And they gave the Israelites exactly what they whatever they asked for. So they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. Go back again, chapter 3 of Exodus, right? And then it was that night that they left.
So they had some free.
Mama, not only were they free, they were wealthy.
Yes.
See, sometimes our mindset goes to a non-biblical state of mind. If I never would have read that, I would have, you know what I would have had a mindset of? Man, when my ancestors was free, right, through the Emancipation Proclamation, when they was free, were they really free? It was a piece of paper. Everybody ain't get the word at the same time, first of all. Second of all, they didn't have anything. They wasn't given anything. Because, see, they were learning.
They couldn't read.
Right, there you go. See, nobody was going to read that part to them. They're only going to read the part to them of the Bible, teach the part of the Bible that talk about slaves and obey your master. They ain't going to read. They ain't going to read to them. They wasn't going to teach them. Just like folk ain't going to teach you today. When you get released, you should be released with wealth in hand. Especially if God say that, you should be released with wealth in hand. You shouldn't be released with nothing. What kind of release is that? You ain't got true freedom. Mama, I got to be done tonight. I got to be done tonight. I pray that all that we have dealt with over these last 4 weeks, that you have heard God in this. We try to make it exciting here on the PRF table. We try to make it fun. At the same time, we know we have to definitely be serious about this.
Yes.
The fact that they were released now gives them another opportunity. And I have to say another opportunity, but gives them and puts them in a place of being able to allow their bloodline to have something different than they didn't have before. Their inheritance was not going to mean too much in bondage. But now that they have been released, it means everything, especially when they get to the place where God was sending them to. So my thing is this, Mama. What you going to do? You going to take the necessary steps to secure your release? Are you going to get along with God and say, God, show me who, show me what, so that you can get your release? Are you going to do the things that God places before your path in order to get your release? Or are you going to sit there Sunday after Sunday praying for a miracle when God says, I'm trying to give you a healing? Because in the healing, there's a process. And in that process, you learn a bunch of things so that you don't have to experience the same situation again. And this is my final thought. Once you get released, Bible says the one who the Lord sets free is free indeed. So if you're free indeed, then it's God's will and his desire for you not to go back into that same place of bondage. We can go and we can look all day in the Bible, and we can go and to look at the prophecies that with Jeremiah and understand what was said in the book of Daniel. Go to the beginning of the chapter where the people were in captivity for 70 years. You have to say something had to alter what was going on in the book of Deuteronomy and Joshua when they get into the promised land. Something had to change when they got to that place for them to wind up back in a place of captivity.
Amen.
But that was years down the road. I'm saying to y'all, look, we don't want you going through that same stuff again, pulled into a slightly different generation during the next time of captivity. That may not have totally understood what happened during this place of captivity. Matter of fact, they heard about some things, but none of those who were in captivity for 70 years were the same ones that was in captivity back in Egypt. because the Bible says that only those who were 20 years and younger were going into the promised land. So this is way beyond the promised land. So you may have had some that was like really, really little. But they didn't experience what grandmama and great-grandmama and great-great-great-grandmama experienced. It's like I haven't experienced what my great-great-greats have experienced back in slavery here in this country. Let God free y'all. Let God free you. Let God free
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Let God free you. I have to imagine from what I see and what I deal with, Mama, day to day, and how my heart is broken, I'm only experiencing a portion of the pain and the hurt that our Father in Heaven is experiencing or looking at His people, not doing some of the things that they need to do, could do, or should do in order to get free from financial bondage. I pray that you're listening. I pray that you have listened. And I pray that you join us in 2 weeks as we gear up for fasting for your finances. You have to know if you've been listening to us at least more than 2 weeks. You got to know that may be the title, but you got to know there's going to be some other things that we're going to be dealing with during that series.
And may I add?
Please, go ahead, Mama, because I'm done.
Okay. There has to be a mind change to make a decision not to go get back into God. There has to be a mind change, which means making a decision not to look back, but to go forward. And to update, as I say, update your PRF file constantly. That means you're constantly, you know, yearly checking your credit report, you know, checking your budget. Just keep updating your, if you're making a budget, you know, you make your budget and you're always evaluating to make sure that you're not overspending. So you're creating your possessions, resources, and finances budget, a profile. And just put a little folder, and that's your profile. You're starting your profile. And as you learn some nuggets, just jot them down and constantly update it. And evaluate yourself and see where you are on a monthly basis. Amen.
That's good. That's good. That's good. You know, we can talk so much about what happened after the children of Israel were released from bondage out of Egypt. We can talk about things that did not go right or go as planned in the wilderness, at the bottom of the mountain. We could really, really take it there. But the place where I really believe that God just wants you to stay at is you don't need to look at all that other stuff. I just need you to get free. I just need you to get free. I need you to understand some of the things that I've been speaking through these vessels here on the PRF table. I just need you to get your mindset right, as Mama just said, so that you can be free. And once you're free, I don't want you going back. So I don't want you focusing on what these other folks did, what the Israelites did after they were released. I don't want you focusing on those things. I just want you to focus on figuring out, getting with me, understanding as individuals living within the community and communities living within other communities, what is it that we need to do as a collective? It's a sad thing to believe that God is only going to release you and not release your brother. That would be totally against what Jesus said, and as he lived his example, love ye one another and love your neighbor as yourself. So if you love ye one another and you love your neighbor as yourself, then there's no way that you can have a mindset that being released from financial bondage only applies to you. it has to apply to the community. Because without no community, that commandment is nothing. And we know that that's not true. We know that it's something. Because if it wasn't, then Jesus wouldn't have said it at the beginning. So, Mama, that's it. I'm done.
Yes.
I'm tired. I just told somebody I feel like I'm a priest, three sermons.
Drop the mic.
But this is... yeah, we're going to drop the mic tonight. This has been a very very interesting series, and we're just going to go ahead and close it out. So with that, we love y'all. God bless you. We do what we do for you and to be obedient to God, our Father in heaven. So I just pray blessings over everybody and pray that you have received your release from financial bondage. Catch us in 2 weeks here on the PRF table. And once again, Jesus said, you're free. You're free. You're free indeed. God bless you. We see you next week or 2 weeks.